this sermon is going to be just a little bit different from what normally happens. We're going to take a little trip through some scriptures, and you might want to have a Bible handy. I promise I'll give you time to turn there if you want to, all right? But we're going to be in the book of Acts and in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, a little bit today. So the Gospel lesson today starts out talking about John the Baptist, right? And we have this whole piece about how John says he's not worthy to untie the sandal of the one who's coming after him. John is the last of the prophets. He's the greatest of the prophets. You think about all the prophets that have come before him in the Old Testament, right? Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Joel, there's all these folks that have come before. And John is so awesome that all of the people that are living in the area at that time are comparing him to the other prophets and saying, he is just so much above and beyond what they were. I wonder if he's the Messiah. Okay? And the last of them, and perhaps the greatest, but he explains and signals this massive qualitative difference between himself and the one who is coming after him. So we can kind of gloss over scripture sometimes. It floats right past us like the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, whatever that is. Okay? But the people were comparing John to all these other prophets, and he was so amazing that they thought he might be the Messiah. And then John says, no, the one who's coming after me, I might baptize you with water, but the one who's coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And there's just a huge difference, that a distinction that John is drawing here. You wouldn't hear Isaiah and Jeremiah and Joel saying these things about each other. They're all human beings being used by God as prophets, but one wouldn't say to the other one, wow, that one is so much more massively powerful than I am. I'm unworthy to do anything for them. But John is saying, the one coming after me is completely and utterly different and totally out of the same league. The one coming after me, whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. So that doesn't make a lot of sense to us. You know, if I go to the Lies for dinner, Bill doesn't come over and untie my shoes for me. Right? I mean, that's kind of an odd thing in our culture, but you know, the house slave would come over and would untie the sandal of the person who had just come in from the street that was covered in dust and dirt and animal dung, and it was probably on their shoes. And it wasn't the greatest job in the world. It was one of the lowest jobs in the house to do that. And John is saying, as great as you people all think I am, the one coming after me is so great and so powerful that I am not worthy even to be his slave. And the power he is walking in and bringing to you is so much more. Many of us here have experienced water baptism. Some of you were baptized with a sprinkling on your head. Some of you maybe had a little water splash. Some of you may have been baptized by immersion. You might remember sometimes we drag a stock tank over the sanctuary and dunk people. Many of us have experienced water baptism. And if you have not experienced water baptism, it's something that Scripture tells us that we are supposed to do. And you can certainly shoot me a text or an email or a call if you're interested in learning more about water baptism. But here in Scripture today, there seems to be a distinction being drawn between water baptism and spirit baptism, doesn't there? We can't really get away from it. John says, I baptize you with water for the repentance of sins, but the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then in the gospel, in the epistle lesson in Acts chapter 8, we have Philip is over in Samaria preaching, and amazing things are happening, and people agree that they're going to change their lives and follow Christ. But then some other disciples hear about it, and they haven't received the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and they go over and they lay hands on them, and they receive the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit. And there's this distinction made in both scriptures that we have today. When we're baptized, pardon me, with water, we receive the Spirit of God. It's the down payment, it's the seal of our redemption. We trust Christ, the Spirit, the Helper, the Paraclete, strength for holy living, the Revealer of truth, comes and lives within us. But there's clearly more to this. There's power to live a holy life. There's power to complete what we are called to do. There's power to walk in closeness with God in the same way that the apostles did after Pentecost. There's a distinction made in Scripture between the water baptism and the Spirit baptism, and that's important for us to notice. Many of us have trusted Christ and are trying to walk with Him. It's a struggle, isn't it? You get up in the morning and you want to walk with the Lord, but there are so many things that try to distract and divert us and pull us in different directions. Have you received this filling of the Holy Spirit, this baptism that John is talking about? You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit was given in dispensation here and there, and people were able to do amazing things. I mean, think about Moses, for instance, okay? We talked about a little bit about the wilderness of Kadesh and his connection to that. But with Moses, the Spirit of God was given to him so that he could lead the people, so that these miracles could be performed, striking the rock and having it pour forth. Think about Elijah and then Elisha, who received a double portion of the Spirit, right? The Spirit traveled with the mantle that was passed on to Elisha. But it was not a generally broadcast thing. It was unheard of in the Old Testament. And it was a very special thing that would happen when someone would have the Holy Spirit of God come upon them in such a mighty and powerful way. But there's something interesting that we should look at in Acts chapter 2. And so if you flip over to Acts chapter 2, I'll give you a moment to get there. Acts chapter 2 is the account of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. We're going to start at verse 17. And this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And in these last days it shall be, declares the Lord, that I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is different. This is a very different thing than what people in the Old Testament life would have experienced, because the Spirit, like we talked about, was given in special dispensation here and there. And then here is an Old Testament prophet who is foretelling the future and saying, in those last days, declares the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Not just this person or that person or this person, but on all flesh. Because Jesus returned to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, this dynamic power of God is available to us in the completion of His call on our lives. So let me ask you a question before you go to sleep. Do you believe God is still performing miracles today? Yeah, okay, all right. Seriously, still today, like the ones we read about in Scripture, or is He all done? Have you experienced any of that? Have you seen anything like that happen? we don't see a lot of those kinds of miracles in our culture here in the West for whatever reason, but man, you go someplace else in the world, you go to Africa or East Asia, where people are not filled with so much stuff and they're living by faith for their daily bread, and people experience the miracles of God, miraculous healings, deliverances, all kinds of stuff that we might think would be pretty strange if it happened here on Sunday morning. But the Lord is still doing that stuff. Are we following a God who used to do amazing and powerful things? Or are we following a God who is still moving and still working in power? Scripture tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God who is walking around in bodily form in Jesus Christ, healing people and delivering people, is the same God who came as the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and empowered the church, after which many signs and wonders and miracles followed, is the same God who is here in worship this morning with us, speaking to our hearts. The same one over all of that time. Further on in Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, if you want to read there, it says, "And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And now here's the verse to really pay attention to. "For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So once again, the promise of the Holy Spirit isn't just for these particular specific individuals. The Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. The promise is to you and to your children. Have you been called by the Lord? Yes, you have. Otherwise, you'd be in front of your wood stove this morning instead of here in church, right? Okay. Everyone whom the Lord our God will call is given this promise of the Holy Spirit. It's available to them. So we live in a time that perhaps the folks that lived in the Old Testament, if they had only known, wished that they could live in. We are blessed to live in this time after Jesus has come and has gone to the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. It's not like the Old Testament. The power of the Holy Spirit is given freely to all who would ask. Jesus knew we would need this power and fire of the Holy Spirit to walk with him in this world. And he never intended us to live the Christian life and to try to walk it out without it. So another question for you. Do you believe that God, by his Spirit, wants to bring revival to New England? Some of you are not in your head. Yeah? Yep. It's with repentance that revival comes, and with the fire of the Holy Spirit that it is spread. So we're looking at the story of the baptism of Jesus today, okay? But we have the benefit of knowing what would come in Jesus' ministry after his baptism and after the promise of the Holy Spirit. Think about Jesus' life and ministry after his baptism. Think about all the people that we can read about in the Gospels that he healed, the sins that he forgave, the people that he delivered, the impossible situations that he stepped into and brought forgiveness and healing and salvation. In John chapter 14, which is where we need to take a little trip to next, it's on page 1633 in my Bible. I don't know about yours. John chapter 14. This is on the night of the Last Supper, okay? What we in the church call Maundy Thursday. Jesus is having a big, long conversation with his disciples because he's about to be crucified. He's about to be taken away from his disciples. And he's giving them his marching orders, and he's reassuring them. He's trying to teach them and give them his last instructions. And he's teaching them. And he says that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with people. He's going to be going to his Father. And when he does, he's going to send the Spirit to them. And he goes on and he says that because he goes to his Father and because he sends the Spirit, that these things that he has done and greater, they would do because he goes to the Father. So you might say, well, fine, you know, I can't really pray for someone to be healed because I don't have that power. Right, you don't. But the Holy Spirit living within you brings that power when you are filled with the Spirit of God. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, those miracles and those things that you saw me do, believe it or not, because I go to the Father and send the Holy Spirit, you're going to walk in that too. And then, lo and behold, it plays out, right? In the epistle lesson today, Acts chapter 8, if you want to flip over there. This is, I think, the last spot we're going. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. That was the little snippet that we received today of the epistle lesson. But it doesn't really tell us the whole story. So in verse 14, it says, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, which is another place outside of Jerusalem, had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So the backstory on this is Philip proclaims Christ in Samaria. He goes there, he's preaching the gospel, he's teaching people about Jesus. And a bunch of people decide they're going to follow Christ, including a guy named Simon, who was a magician, and people were originally following him because they were impressed by his signs and wonders. But when Philip came, the signs and wonders that were being performed through the Holy Spirit in him were so great that they turned away from the original signs and wonders guy and followed the true signs and wonders guy. Okay? And so people were baptized, and they received the word of Christ. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them yet. And so Peter and John go down on a little trip from Jerusalem, and they say, Philip, we're coming over to help you out. And they lay hands on these Christians to receive the Holy Spirit. So we're at a time where we can no longer afford to let our faith remain quiet and subdued and sedate or on the back burner of our lives. Do you ever feel like your faith stagnates from day to day and 1 week slips into the next week, into the next, and it feels like a daily grind, and maybe you know you should read or you should pray, but you don't? Maybe we wonder why our lives lack vitality and vibrancy and power as we try to live out this faith. You know, the world and the culture are changing fast, and the day of Christ's returning is one day closer as each day goes by. We don't know when it's going to be, but it's coming. And Jesus knew that we could not do this without the Holy Spirit. He didn't ask us to try to follow him and not receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's time for us to press in closer to the Lord, to repent of those things that we have placed higher than God in our lives, to seek him with all of our hearts, and to want to live into everything that God has for us to walk in, and to earnestly desire to be invaded by the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit that John talked about, that Jesus would bring. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here today. God, we thank you that the Christian life is not a fake life. We thank you that we're not called to do something and then not equipped to do it. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. For some of us, the idea of being filled by the Spirit of God in this way is frightening or foreign to us. God, we know that you are a good God who gives good gifts. And you love us and you want the best for us. And so we thank you that Jesus ascended and went to you that we would be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the witness of the apostles. And we thank you for the fact that they were obedient to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that here in Brownsville, this corner of the world, we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would be welcome here. God, we ask that you would fill each heart here that desires to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Help us to seek after you and to learn more that we might be able to press in and draw closer to you. Lord, none of us has arrived. We pray that you would help us to see the gifts you have given us by your Spirit for ministry and to hone those skills and to unwrap those gifts and be able to use them in the way you intended. Lord, I thank you for this family of faith that you have drawn together at this time. Help us to honor you and to love you and serve you in the name of Christ. Amen.